Listen to me very carefully.
You are listening to the Red Pill Corporation. How's it, baby?
My mission is to go and destroy and not to let anything get involved. You get punched, you get hurt, I refuse to be hurt, knocked down, and knocked out. I can't lose. I refuse to lose.
He's been mentioned as a possible opponent.
I take all comers. I don't duck any man.
Can we assume that Michael Gokes is one of the prospects?
All comers. Come one, come all. Because nobody can get close to me. They're not even close. I'm the best fighter in the world.
Listening to the Red Pill Hardcore Asia. How's it, baby? Keep it real. Take the Red Pill.
He's scheduled for 60 minutes next. He's going on French, British, Italian, Japanese television. People everywhere are starting to listen to him. It's embarrassing.
Prepare yourself! Prepare yourself!
Listening
to the Red Pill Hardcore Asia. Well, now you can forget about going to the amusement park.
Keep it real. Take the Red Pill.
We'll be right back. Yes. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. I am your host, V. And, go on a little bit off the beaten path here, but I want to get as many episodes to you guys as humanly possible. especially since I might be out of the game here after, you know, having some surgery. But, because, I mean, no one likes reruns, right? You like reruns? So we're just going to pile these episodes on top of each other. And that only ups the quality because I get to get these guys on the show that I can't necessarily get on during the week. So we're just going to hit you with some extra stuff right now while we can. So I want to introduce to you guys some a couple of unique individuals who's joining the effort, who's joining us at Vigilante Media, our new company, new media conglomerate that's going to be absorbing and creating as many other truther, well, I guess real media, independent media, to combat the mind control garbage that the mainstream is broadcasting. So we have to do our part and fight. So anyways, without further ado, we have the guys from the Grim Reaper Radio. Guys, how you doing?
Doing all right, thanks, mate.
Yes. Thank you. Are you?
So who do we have? We got Grim and we got Granddad.
Yep.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's correct.
All right.
We are here.
I like it. So this is my opportunity to get to know you guys, because, you know, we're working together, and I know Theo's a lad. He's a mad lad, I like to say. I'm trying to get used to some of that English lingo. I'm loving it. You guys have the best lingo in the world, I think. just the greatest. You guys, I don't even know your backgrounds. Let's start there. So let's start with you, Grim. You know, who are you? Where you come from? What do you do? How'd you get to this point where you want to do radio?
Okay. I spent a lifetime representing people in different areas, trying to make sure that their rights are followed, and also that the companies seem to think that they have one, which they don't. Over been fighting for people's rights in general. Back in the 80s, involved with that, and did some marching from one area to another back in the days when I was a lot younger. But moving forward, I came across a load of videos on YouTube in relation to the Constitution in America. And not knowing that much about it, I found it rather interesting, to say the least, especially the First Amendment, because you have what's known as the right of free speech, where we don't. We have the right of expression. We don't have the right of free speech. And when you challenge something, you get told, oh, you can't do that. You're not allowed to say this. You're not allowed to say that. You've got to conform. And I've never been one to conform in my life, really. So I was looking for some sort of platform where it was uncensored, because all the other platforms have some sort of censorship in it. So I didn't really want to get involved with places like YouTube, Twitter, and whatnot, with without having to work within their rules. So I was talking to Theo one day, and he told me about what his idea is around internet radio. And I said, well, I can do that. I'd love to have some sort of platform. And it sort of snowballed from there. And I spoke to Grandad after I got the web domain. And we've sort of put it together, and we're still learning as we go along. And yes, we are making mistakes occasionally, I'll be honest about that. However, we do learn from them. Well, I do anyway. But the idea is that we can cover anything, any subject, doesn't matter what it is, and we can put an alternative point of view across. Because in every argument or discussion, should say, there are two sides. But I'd rather make sure that I'm putting out the right information, which, on balance, you don't get from the mainstream media. Certainly in the UK, I presume it's similar over in the States, where it's controlled by monopolies and corporations.
Absolutely. I mean, the right to expression versus the right to free speech, I was actually kind of thinking there. Expression can mean anything, you know. You have the right to scream and cry if our boot is on your necks. You have the right to complain if we're putting you up on the gallows. You know, that's expressions. I mean, that doesn't really mean anything.
Well, the way it's interpreted over here in the UK is that you can wear what you want within reason. It cannot offend somebody. And I saw something which was rather interesting at the time. I thought it was hilarious, but that's another story. There was a woman walking across Hyde Park in London and walking towards the only place where you have the right to free speech, which is Speaker's Corner. And on a Sunday morning, you can stand there and you can say what you like, and you cannot be arrested, theoretically. Anyway, this woman had a T-shirt on, and it spelt on the top, spelt F-U-K, Boris, in relation to the Prime Minister over here, Mr. Boris Johnson, who we must bow down to and do what he says. Really? No, that's not the case. Well, not in my case, anyway. But she was told to remove her T-shirt by local enforcement officers and the police. When she explained that she didn't have an alternative top, and it would meant that she would be walking around topless, which would be illegal, they arrested her. Because the T-shirt could offend somebody. Not that did, but could. And later on, the same police officers stopped somebody who was on Speaker's Corner talking about the coronavirus and giving an alternative point of view. And because there was a lot of people stood around, he was told that if he didn't stop, he would be arrested because he's causing congestion by people standing there listening to what he has to say, which is actually against the law. However, he's got the right to speak at that particular time on a Sunday morning. So we have a situation there where somebody's rights was being impeded by so-called regulations, which aren't actually law. But it gave the police powers to be able to do more or less what they want under the guidance of what Boris said. So I understand the reason why this woman was wearing the T-shirt. But it wasn't offensive, it was just down to someone's opinion. But probably you've heard the term snowflakes?
Yes.
Yes, and we have a lot of them. They're usually people in uniform, and they seem to think that they have more rights than anybody else, and they can abuse people because the general populace don't understand what their rights actually are. So that's the idea behind what we're trying to do, is to make sure people stand up for their rights before they lose them. Totally.
Exactly. Exactly. And we have Granddad here. We haven't forgot about you. Same question. Where are you from? Where'd you get your start? And why are you on the radio today?
Basically, I worked with young people. What was below the age of 16, and sort of like helped them into society, etc. But realised there was things lacking. You know, it's a bit of a postcode lottery item out there. And then I got into the YouTube side of things, started looking about from ghost hunting up to auditing, etc. Been over on a few of the American sites as well. And basically, that's it. Basically, I'm backing Grim up in whatever he does. We sort of like hit it off on each other as we can. Grim's basically covered the stuff that I'd cover anyway.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it takes a. I like that the older generation, you know, boomers are stepping out and taking responsibility for the world now. Well, you know, it's always like
we've got a lot of experience between us. I mean, I've seen all sorts of things in the past, and the way the government have changed things over the years.
Yes.
And made life so difficult for, if I say the average person, I hope you understand it, you know, the upper class, the people who've got all the money, they just rake it in constantly, and everybody else gets basically stood on, and their lives are made difficult, but also they want to control people as well, the government. So they won't put the rights out there for people. We have a serious condition over here, which isn't talked about, and we did have a wonderful National Health Service, the NHS, which came out after the Second World War, and it was designed to ensure that everybody got access to health services. And it was paid for through taxation, in a way, through what we called national insurance over here. And the idea was that that money would go into the health service, and anybody could access a doctor without having to pay for it. They're called general practitioners these days, GPs. Out that became major hospitals, accidents and emergency departments, they're now called sort of emergency departments, where you can walk in and you can get treatment. We've got an ambulance service, which everything is, you know, it's free. It's paid for by the state, and it's designed for the people. But depending on where you live within the UK, depends on what's available to you, because of the lack of finances, which are now being put into the National Health Service. And at one time, it was seen to be the envy of the world, the British National Health Service. I don't know where it sits these days because of all the cuts. And now, health service providers, whether they be working in hospitals in any capacity or anywhere else, they've got until the 1st of April to be vaccinated, or they're going to lose their job. And that's the government dictating what people must do. And it's not as if they're being given a choice. Now,
which at the beginning was a choice.
Yeah, it was a breach of their human rights, for starters, because they haven't got the right, you know, the way the government put it is, Well, you got the choice, because you either have the vaccination or you lose your job. What's more important to you? And the vaccination, I mean, I put something up on our website earlier regarding a consultant who had a conversation with the health secretary, who is the on the right-hand side of the prime minister, and questioned why he needs to be jabbed when he's already had the virus and the immunity is only viable for around about 8 weeks, and put across the argument that but every time somebody is inoculated against the coronavirus, a new variant comes up, which means that the inoculation is nowhere near as good as it was, and it lasts for about 4 weeks. Therefore, everybody will need to be re-jabbed every 4 weeks. And Sarah said, well, that's not feasible, that's not possible. And, you know, it was a standard line from the government. Well, we get all our advice from the people who know, from the scientists, and that's how we look at things and we determine what's best for the country. And personally, I think it's a load of codswallop. I mean, I would use other words, but, you know, I don't know what the line is on total freedom of expression and using of words. I'll keep it nice and tidy for you. But I actually think that the whole situation is wrong. I mean, what's wrong with the freedom of choice? They've taken that right away from the people who work in the National Health Service, frontline care workers. They did exactly the same with care workers who worked in nursing homes, where they look after people who are vulnerable, and they insisted that they were jabbed, they were inoculated. Whether you agree or you disagree with having the COVID vaccine, it's a matter of choice, and they're not given the choice, and they were the first ones to be got at. And now there's a shortage of carers, employed carers, as a result, which doesn't make any sense to me in any way, shape or form. And I think it's just a way that the government wants to control people. And it might be similar elsewhere. I mean, you look at some of the countries in Europe, you've got Austria where it's been there's a lockdown. In Germany, there's riots going on. We've already seen those in Austria. We're seeing lockdowns in France. We're seeing people take to the streets. What's it going to take? Is it going to take some sort of civil war before such time as these governments realise that they are just controlling people? And the people don't want it.
Well, I mean, let me ask you something. Was there really a big issue in your recent history as far as abortion rights?
Yes, there was a debate regarding it. Yes, sometime in the last.
Was it anywhere near as big as it was in the US?
I don't think so, in a sense. There was, over here in the UK, there's certain regulations which were brought into force regarding up to when a pregnancy could be terminated. And after that date, they had to the decision to terminate was based on whether or not the likelihood of the child was going to be disabled in some way. And pressure was put on people, you know, if they were going to have a disabled child, it's best to terminate the pregnancy. Again, it's a woman's right to determine their own, what they do with their body at the end of the day. And that did cause a massive backlash for the government, and they did a slight U-turn at the time, but it wasn't as big probably as it was in the States, because you, as I say, you've got the right to freedom of speech, so you can actually say what you want to say. You know, we don't have that right. yeah, as such. So, but people overrid that and actually went up against the powers that be and stood against them. And there was some sort of compromise that came out, but it's still very much in favour of the government. And the idea would have been to reduce costs, because the cost of bringing a child into the world who is fully able-bodied, shall we say, versus a child that is disabled, it costs the government more, which is one of the reasons why I believe that they brought this in. It's a cost-cutting exercise and a control exercise.
Absolutely. I mean, the reason why I ask is, you know, in the U.S., my body, my choice. My body, my choice. And I do believe most of the government was behind that. I mean, you have the right-wing conservative people, you know, possibly even Christian, you know, abortion's bad. Okay, that's religious point of view. And, you know, the government's supposed to be secular. So, but then again, you have the left wing is, oh yes, totally, totally, my body, my rights. I can have an abortion if I want to. But here we have the plandemic. We have this thing released on us. Yes. And all of a sudden, your body is no longer your body. You must get the vaccine.
Yes.
And it's largely these left-wing, these libtard, corrupt Democrats in the states, they're pushing, yeah, no body, your body, your rights. You know, as long as there is that depopulation, you know, as long as there's that control of, you know, they wanted to make seem like, yes, you have control over your body, but that's only because it fit their agenda. It no longer fits their agenda, right? Yes, so I don't know if you had that sort of duality in the UK or not.
It's a little bit more subtle.
A little bit more subtle.
Yeah, I mean, the way that the government do things, there isn't the outcry. I mean, they've just snuck a pushed under the coronavirus regulations that allows the Prime Minister to do what the hell he likes, basically, without having to go back to Parliament to have something discussed and ratified and agreed. So, in my eyes, he's becoming a bit of a dictator, because he takes information regarding this pandemic, epidemic, whatever label you want to put on it, and he's the one making the decisions based on what his scientists tell him, but they're paid by the government in order to twist whatever facts and figures fits their narrative, and it's based on that. So at the moment, we're free to do certain things, thank you. But when we first had the lockdown, we were told, you've got to wear a mask. It's a legal requirement to wear a mask. It was never a legal requirement, it was guidance. But people think that guidance is law, because that's what the government said. So they misinterpreted it, and people who were exempt from wearing a mask were singled out and discriminated against, because for them to go into a supermarket, now we've got about five main supermarkets, some of them were a little bit more liberal in the way that they approached it, and they turned around and said, okay, fine, you're exempt, don't worry about it. Others insisted that you advertise the fact that you are exempt by wearing a lanyard around your neck. But when you were handed it, it wasn't sterilized. You know, it's already been used by somebody else. And this virus is supposed to last on surfaces for up to 24 hours. So none of it made any sense whatsoever. And if you didn't wear a lanyard, you were refused entry. Now, to me, that's a form of discrimination. Now, we have something yes. called the Equality Act, which means you cannot discriminate against someone because they have a disability. So this is where I think that law gets confused against regulations and what our wonderful Prime Minister says.
Well, I mean, I don't see... I've seen many examples. I mean, I've never experienced, you know, these things from the perspective of a British or UK citizen. But I live here in Poland. You know, I'm here in Europe with you guys, and just the idea. I kind of actually had fun with it. These people tell me they can't serve me. And the only place that I've been told this was at the bank. We're not going to work with you, sir, unless you have a mask on. And I'm thinking to myself, what topsy-turvy world do I live in? And they're not going to hand me any money unless I'm wearing a mask. I'm thinking to myself, okay.
3 years ago.
And I didn't even have a mask. I literally took the bandana off of my head and tied it around my face like a bank robber. And I said, give me all your money. They didn't think that was very funny, though.
No. Well, listen to this is the thing. I've had a bit of fun with this in the past. Now, I'm exempt because of my medical conditions. And I've been... I had one of my pets needed to be seen by a vet. And I went to the vets, took the cat with me, and they said, right, we'll take the cat into the back. And I went, pardon? Okay, I'll come with you. No, you're not wearing a mask, you're not allowed to. So I had a lot of fun quoting the Equality Act. And eventually... one of the senior partners of the practice came out and said to me, it's not right. I'll be glad when they get rid of this mask mandate because it's causing us nothing but trouble. And people like you are causing us trouble because you're arguing. And I went, but I'm arguing from a point of law, which overrides any of your policies, which is similar, I believe, to the rights in the States of the First Amendment to have freedom of speech, freedom of photography, etc., in public buildings. And it's sort of the same argument to me. You know, I've got the right not to wear a mask. You can't force me to wear a mask, but at the same time, you can't take something that belongs to me, like a cat, to be treated. What if something goes wrong? I need to be there. And I know it sounds ridiculous, but if looking back at it, when I came home and I told my wife, she said to me, you can argue inside a paper bag and just for the sake of it. And I went, I'm not arguing for the sake of it. I'm arguing from a point of view that it's my right. And if I don't stand up for them, even just a little bit, I'm going to lose those rights. And that's what's most important to me. It's the right to be able to do what I'm allowed to do. And nobody is going to turn around to me and say, you can't do something. You know, I mean, the fact that 3 years ago, if you wore a mask and walked into a bank, you'd probably be jumped on straight away. But now it's a normal thing. You know, doesn't make sense to me at all. You're right, it is topsy-turvy.
And I was talking to Theo earlier, and he brought up just the most beautiful point. Because I'm discussing with him, how the hell do I get out of Europe without having taken the jab, taken the shot? And he jokes about grabbing a buoy and floating over the Atlantic, but... he said, you know, it's really ridiculous because here we have the unvaccinated who are grounded. We can't travel. We can't move beyond the borders of our countries. But yet, COVID keeps spreading. You've got these different variations. We're down to the Omicron. And it keeps going global, worldwide.
Yep.
So if the unvaccinated are grounded and can't travel...
spreading the virus.
Yeah. The vaccinated are spreading the virus. Yeah. And they're still getting sick.
No, exactly.
So...
I mean, what's your point of view, Grandad? What's your point of view on this? You know, being restricted because you
being
have
restricted, it's disgusting. Really, is disgusting. We've got our rights, and as you've already said, you know, if we don't start standing up, we're going to lose them. We are going to lose them. We do have to all stand together. Definitely.
What do you think, V? Would you agree with that? We need to stand together.
We have to. I'm actually quite surprised. But then again, when you really think about it, maybe it's not such a surprise. But, you know, when you have businesses that lose money because of discrimination, I mean, money is money. You're supposed to be wanting everybody's money and do your business. But to have these airlines actually go along with, you know, this sort of thing. And, yeah, it's a reset. It's a financial global reset. And it wouldn't be happening if it weren't for these corporations abiding by these mandates. I mean... it's ridiculous how only certain companies basically are allowed to make money. I know so many companies are shut down because you know, they're not meeting requirements, but these other big people are allowed to continue to work. I mean, what's the difference between a mom and pop's hamburger place or McDonald's? McDonald's was allowed to continue to operate, but yet these little mom and pop shops were shut down.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. It's also probably a better food going from the mom and pops, but that's side of the point, I suppose. I mean, I couldn't get my head around a lot of the restrictions that were put into place. And I'll give you an example, right? Where I work, which I do work for a living, apparently. But when I work, when COVID came through, it was like panic stations. They got some sort of a notification or indication, should say, that they were going to shut buildings and people had to work from home. Now, because of my personal circumstances, I've been trying for years, literally years, to get to a point where I could work from home. So from my perspective, the best thing that happened was I was able to work from home. I'm more productive. I'm a carer, so I have to make sure that my wife is okay, etc. And it made life so much easier. But then the government said, you can't go into the place of work unless you have to. Okay, so when the laptop which they gave me failed, I had to make an appointment to go into the workplace to get the laptop updated or replaced or whatever it was technically that they need to sort out. And I had a word with the security people on the door. And I had to sign in. I had to sterilise my hands. I wasn't allowed to touch anything unless... it was essential. And they put these wonderful, stupid pieces of cardboard around the door handles to stop any viruses from being transmitted. And I turned around and said, what's all this about? And he said, it's a secure COVID site. So me being me, I turned around and said, okay then, Mr. Security, What do you do? Do you stand outside or you stand at the door and you turn around to the virus and say, this is a secure site, you're not allowed in. Unless you got a pass. I couldn't get my head around it. What is a secure COVID site? There's no such thing.
No.
It's there wherever you go. I mean, you were talking via, you know, regarding, you know, this new variant, what's it called? Omicron, was it? Something. And these, you know, the vaccinated people are allowed to travel from A to B, but they're the ones carrying the virus. Whereas those who are unvaccinated are told you've got to stay where you are, you're not allowed to move out. I just don't get the message. I don't understand the message other than, we want to control you. We want to make sure you do as you say, as we say, so that then when the next bit of our plan comes into force, you will be compliant. None of it makes sense to me, other than I think it's a trap to control everybody and to keep everybody locked into wherever it is that they live. And if you have X, Y, or Z, you're allowed to travel. Oh, gee, thanks. In other words, if I want to go on holiday, I've got to get vaccinated. If you want to move from Poland to the US, you've got to be vaccinated, because that's what the laws, international laws, shall we say, are saying these days. It's ridiculous. They're impeding your freedom to travel as a human being, and it's wrong.
Well, you know, that's what you get when you have borders, I guess. And I don't know, this whole New World Order agenda, I'm actually quite surprised that Europe in itself is backing this whole thing. I mean, to not be able to fly from any European country, I mean, you have the European Union here. There have been human rights violations that have never been addressed until the European Union, you know, was created. You know, yeah. I see myself going to court for a few things myself. I know I'll at least be heard. You know, I wouldn't be able to be heard in the United States in federal court there. That wouldn't happen. So, I mean, there's some good that's come out of there being a European Union, but now they're backing the most evil thing that could happen to us as of right now. I'm just quite surprised. And so I know there's this whole Brexit thing, and since this whole Brexit thing is going on, I know you guys are getting GMO, and you're getting fluorinated water now. And these sort of things. How are you feeling about that?
Well, the Brexit thing was a diversion. It wasn't. It was going to happen regardless. We had two referendums regarding it, but the questions which were asked were misleading. We voted in a semi-right-wing party on two occasions, because there's no credible alternative. Now, if we look at people and the way that they vote, if I just put it into simple terms, you've got, on one side, you've got a party which has the colour blue, which is the Conservative Party, the right wing, and you've got another party which is red, which is supposedly be for the people. I won't say the left wing, because they're not anymore. They're more centre to right and following what the Tories say, but and only occasionally objecting, the Tories being the Conservative Party. It reminds me of a choice. Do you want the red pill or do you want the blue pill? Personally, I don't want to take any. You know, but there's the choice. And it reminds me, as I say, and I think we're heading towards that eventually. Not literally being plugged in, but being controlled by the governments of the world, or the dictators, because that's what the governments are, they're dictated. You're in Poland, you're part of the economic union within Europe, I believe. We voted to come out, theoretically. We've come out with no trade agreement, no nothing. Right? We can't trade. And now there was arguments recently over the border between Ireland and Britain. It's not even an ocean, it's a channel. And they're saying that in the middle, we should have a border control to inspect goods, etc. How's that going to work in the middle of the sea? None of it makes sense to me at all.
Yeah,
this is coming from Europe. I'm not saying that it was a good thing or a bad thing, because a lot of good came out of Europe, right? Our health and safety at work and the practices most of the changes which came in has benefited people in a lot of ways, because the masters, the people who own the corporations, have to make sure that they abide by the minimum requirements. And to get round it, you have to agree to come out of certain things, like the working time directive that we have, which came out of Europe, which is great. It means that the maximum you can be forced to work is 48 hours. But if you want to work more than that, you can do, but you've got to sign out of the working time agreement. But it also means that you're signing out of all the other good things which came with that, like guaranteed holidays for bank holidays, and they're not part of your holiday entitlement and things like this, which is what the powers that be were doing. It was ridiculous. Whereas now you've got at least some things which benefit the workers, benefit people, but these rights are slowly now being taken away from us. And how long before, I mean, you're talking about the human rights, which the European Human Rights Act, which is now being ignored totally by the same people who put that into place. So the only way you're going to get around it is by taking it into court and ensuring that your rights are backed by the Supreme Court in Europe, if necessary. Which, again, why would you? You shouldn't need to do that. It's written in stone, so to speak. It's almost as if Moses came down with a brand new tablet. You know, not that I'm getting religious, but that's what it is. It's written in stone.
Sponsored by iPad, right? Apple?
Or Windows?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, you know. And I want to know, actually, on that subject, I mean, this generational technology, I mean, the young people, we got to get to the young people. What's the word on the streets from the young people? I mean, I kind of picture back in the day, you know, punk rock really got its start in the UK. You know, where are the rebels? Where are the punk kids these days? Saying fight the power. Do we have any of that, or are yellow vests as close thing we're going to get to that?
Yeah, I think you're right. It's been watered down that much.
It's gone.
Yeah, definitely.
It was something which was, yeah, it was something. The days of the rebel has gone, because we've allowed the government to trample on our youngsters and indoctrinate them in such a way that they believe everything that which is said, or they have total apathy, and it doesn't affect them. And until such times it affects them, they're not worried about it. But I've got newsflash for you, it's too late then. Now is the time that you have to stand up for your rights. I'm, you know, of the older generation. I've been around for a long time. And if I don't start showing something from my perspective to the younger generation, who's going to pick up this fight? Who's going to care for my grandchildren, so to speak? You know, it's not going to be me if I'm not here. It's going to have to be a younger generation that picks this up and follows and carries on. And hopefully it becomes a movement, and a movement of truth rather than a movement of propaganda. Yeah. Because that's what the governments have got. They have a propaganda machine, and people either believe it or they have total apathy towards it, and they can't be bothered until such time as it's too late, unfortunately. I don't know what you can say about over in the States or in Poland, but you know, that's my view of life in Britain at the moment. Total apathy. Order being conformed.
Okay, yeah. Well, I'm just hoping people can wake up in time, because I've been using Australia as an example, and I'm thinking the UK is not too far off. I mean, Australia, as soon as all that false flag, you know, shootings happen there, and guns got taken from there, from those people, they gave up the gun rights, and then it just went downhill. I'm thinking, I mean, people are having their doors kicked in, arrested for just saying anything against the vaccines. There's forced vaccination camps. They stopped that whole anti-vax movie from being shown over there. The buses were barred from entering the cities, and it's just, it went totally, I should say, totalitarian over there. And I'm thinking the UK is not too far behind that. I mean, do you think things would be going differently if you had your gun rights?
Well, yeah, I do think they would be going a bit different, because you've got a bit of security, haven't you? That's a, you know, that's how I see it. I mean, I've never grown up with gun rights or anything like that, you know. I mean, young children here now can't even play with toy guns, you know. It's frowned upon, really. They don't, you know, they don't really promote that anymore.
Yeah. It's just amazing to me. I'm actually, if it weren't for Poland being so chill, relatively chill and relaxed. I mean, yeah, there's not much of a police state here. I rarely see a cop. I mean, if I were anywhere else, I would be freaking out if I weren't able to have any kind of weaponry. I would be, you know, in a place like the UK, I would definitely have to have a gun. I'm thinking Spain, Portugal, anywhere where you have a progressive and a large population, you know, first world nation, I would need, you know, some sort of protection. And the fact that there's so much police brutality, there's so much, you know, and you got these auditors, and the UK auditors, I find to be, you know, the most hardworking. You guys, you literally, none of these cops are scared of you because they know you don't have a gun, and they just beat the crap out of you over there.
Yeah, definitely.
And put you in the back of the van. You guys have little prisoner vans that that you drive around, which is hilarious. Like the paddy wagon that you take people to the nut house in.
That's right. It was the auditor's ear that actually named me Grandad. It was them that actually named me. We went round the car going, "Who's the oldest here?" And they went, "You are Grandad," and that it's stuck now. So that's where my name come from.
let me see if I can add him back in, if he's there. There we go. He's back in the stream, my friend. I don't know why we lost you, but you're there. You're here. We had to actually take...
Yeah, sorry about that. My internet dropped out.
Yeah, it's a little choppy, but we're getting you. We're getting you. I know we got to take a commercial break here within 2 or 3 minutes here. But I want to give you a chance. What's the name of the site? GrimReaperRadioShow.com?
Yes.
It is.
Okay, so I have got to get that on here because Theo, yeah, that's right, guys. Our very own Theo created this site. That's going to be, yes, with our Vigilante Media. It is on our Vigilante Media source page, but here we have Grim Reaper Radio Show. Now, I hope that it's not just going to be a show. You're going to span out to your own network for us, right?
Yeah, we are.
Is that in the plans?
The links are going to be for the podcasts are going to be within the website and access to the radio itself. What we are planning on doing is doing lives so that we can talk to our listeners. We're hoping to be able to get a phone in set up and things like this so that people can contact us. But if anybody wants to talk to us, we can record shows and put them out at a later date through the podcast, through podcasts, and we'll be using Skype to make sure that we don't lose connection other than possibly internet connection. And then there's people could have a copy of it, but we're planning on putting them out as they are, so there'll be no editing. The only thing that we don't want is hate speech or people being discriminative towards people who are disabled or have any other issues. You with me? We don't want that in any way, shape, or form. We want a nice, respectful conversation. And if we've got two opposing sides, we can have a debate regarding it as well.
Okay. Well, that's excellent. Excellent, my friend. I'm glad for you guys. We're going to take a quick commercial break here, and we shall be right back.
Right all along. Now you must learn to survive. If you hear this, you are the resistance. This is your emergency broadcast system. The conspiracy is upon you. Your conspiracy friends were right all along. Now you must learn to survive. If you hear this, you are the resistance.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.